Okay, here we go. Oh, Isla's here. No way. He's a dude, though. He's a real estate investor. I love him. He's cool. Or maybe his wife's going to come on.
Let's see.
He's a super cool guy. Let's see. What's up, Isla? Can you hear us?
Hey, hey, what's up? What's up?
What's up, man?
Nice.
Hey, what's up?
I like the hat.
They make you wear hats here when you pick up your stuff at the port. It's kind of crazy.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know why. I guess somebody got hurt and then, you know, like it's all over there.
And oh, my God.
Yeah. It's a process, man.
Dude, how is the Dominican?
It's good. It's good. You know, besides the little bureaucracy that me and my wife right now is saying, you got to pay this, pay that. You know, it's great.
Okay, cool.
They're trying to just hit you with the little fees and stuff like that.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. I don't think you've met my wife, have you?
No, I've heard about you.
Oh, no. Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Actually, here's my wife here.
Oh, nice. Hi.
Yeah.
Dude, that's great. That's awesome.
So funny, guys.
I tuned in. I said, oh, wait, Women's Health. Let's get Angie on it so she can learn a few things.
That's awesome. Is your wife into health like you are? Are you guys both into it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I started first and then I got her into a little bit. And then she got into it even more than me, like where she's making her own soaps and body lotions and all that stuff too.
No way. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
That's our journey too.
Yeah. So she's in her hometown now, right? Because you guys are in the DR.
That's it. This is her hometown.
That's awesome.
Yeah. We went there a couple years ago. Hey,
that's right.
Well, it's been a while. It's probably been like 6 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was cool. Yeah.
Definitely. It was hot. August is extremely hot here.
Yeah, I cannot imagine. We're like, how does anybody get any work done? It's just like oppressive.
But besides that, you know, all year round, just like good. It's really good. I feel like Texas was hotter than that.
Hi, Colleen. Hi, Dory.
Hey.
Hi.
You both there? Yeah, cool.
Yep, I'm here.
How's it going, ladies?
Very good.
Where are you joining from?
Colleen, I'm joining from Boston.
Oh, cool.
I'm joining Dory from Palm Desert.
Oh, no way, neighbor.
Where are you?
We're in San Juan Capistrano.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Gosh, I just had friends, our babysitter that helps us out was just in the desert all last week. She said it was like 115?
It was horrible. I just got back. I've been in Manhattan Beach for the last month and a half.
Trying to wait it all out.
No, I had a baby. Grandbaby. Oh,
no way.
I didn't have a baby.
You didn't? Well, congrats. That's
I'm a little
awesome.
Too old. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. How? What'd you have, a boy, girl? Who?
I had a boy. This is a first boy after two girls. This is my third grandchild.
Oh, congrats.
Thank you. Yeah.
So exciting. So they're not too far, Manhattan Beach then?
No, and I lived there for 40 years, so.
Oh, gosh. Very familiar.
Happy to be out of there.
Oh, were you able to help, like, for a couple weeks kind of thing, or
that's
months?
That's what I do. I'm a nurse, so yes.
Oh, very cool,
yeah.
Dory.
Yeah, thank you.
Are you still working? Are you, like, in the hospital setting, or?
No, I would never work in the hospital.
I was curious how, oh, my gosh.
Been there, done that. No, thanks.
Are you at a private practice, or are you just doing?
Yeah, I do grief and loss.
Oh,
recovery and support, and about to march into the concept of fear and the support to how people can navigate the immense amount of fear that they've been propagandized to or they've succumbed to. It's debilitating on every front. So,
wow, we've never had a more appropriate time for your work.
Exactly.
Do you find, I'm so curious about that. Do you find that you're working a lot with a certain generation, or is it across the board the fear is just really deeply gotten its roots into people?
Well, there's two types of mentality. There's a fear of probably my generation, so to speak, I'm 64, mm-hmm. whereby they know what's going on. They, you know, if you were educated back in the day in the 70s, in the 60s, you learned about World War II. You learned about the Nazi regime.
Mom left.
So with that information, you're able to connect the dots.
Yeah.
Younger generations are not, because they have not been taught it. And as I'm learning more and more, they have been indoctrinated into the belief that the Marxist mentality is the right mentality. And I don't know how you unbrainwash somebody.
Right.
That's the part that until somebody's willing to recognize there's a problem, you really can't help them with the problem.
Yeah, no, for sure.
The application is much like any addiction.
Yeah, I was going to say the AA, right?
Right, the person has to hit rock bottom in order to realize, maybe I got a problem here.
For sure.
Like and I was at a school board meeting yesterday. I've never been to one in my life.
Wow.
And I just decided I needed to be involved. I needed to hear and visualize, more importantly, what was going on. And I was dumbfounded, absolutely horrified. The arrogance of the school board, the unwillingness of them to even acknowledge parental concern. Every one of them had a mask on.
The school board members, not the parents in attendance?
No. Unfortunately, in Riverside County right now, masks are not mandated indoors. And because I wouldn't have gone. I refuse to wear a mask, so that limits my access, particularly like in LA County.
Yeah, ours too. I know. I totally know.
So, I think the more people, part of the communist mentality or regime is the constant chaos and confusion, which is going on right now, keep us completely overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Like you can't come up with enough subject matter to get people distracted from the real issues.
Right.
And that's what's hard to permeate in people's minds.
Now, I'm curious because I've seen all kinds of stuff on Instagram the last few days of just these awesome, just parents, teacher, a bunch of people just sitting in those board meetings and they're just like crashing them. Was the attendance really high and were there just like angry?
Oh, yeah. And they were told they only had 3 minutes to speak. The board got up and walked out when one of the members of one of the parents had been given his minutes. People gave him his minutes. He was extremely articulate and he was on a roll. He was very poised. He knew exactly what he wanted to say and was very, very, very prepared. And the president of the board told him he was unable to take any more minutes. And I tried to ask the question, where is your penal code? Where is your code that states that before you make that sweeping conclusion, you show us the law, so to speak, because he threw penal code at us once before and told us that if we didn't stop booing or doing anything pejorative, that we would be arrested in violation of XYZ penal code. So I wanted to know the penal code for what he was doing.
Totally.
And they all got up. He got up and walked out and then encouraged his sheep to do so. And they all walked out.
What cowards. That is so cowardly.
Not only cowardly, we pay them. We vote for them.
Sure, they work for us.
And do you know that there were either 5 or 6 sheriffs at this meeting? And the Desert Sand School District had probably 3 of their own security guards. You would have thought we were all criminals. There was something about it that was so reminiscent to me of a totalitarian state. And you only have to have been to one to know it. And unfortunately, or fortunately for me, I've been to several. And once you do it, you'll never forget it, and you can smell it a mile away. And that's what that reminded me of last night.
Well, does this make you, I'm so curious, because were you born and bred California, raised here?
No, I'm born and bred in New York.
Interesting.
Another wacko state.
Well, sure. So where do you stand right now? Because we have Isla and his wife that are just moved to the Dominican Republic where she's from. But, so many of our friends and family, long-term Californians, are just out. And we're always tiptoeing oh my gosh, today we're here, but tomorrow, who knows? But do you want to just bail, or are you in a place where you just want to fight for California and reclaim it? I'm just day to day. My feelings are all over the place.
I have same here. I have no desire to live any longer under a dictatorship, which is Gavin Newsom.
I hear you.
However, when I get into my panic mode and think about where to go and how to do it, et cetera, I believe that we are looking at more leaders that align themselves with their power grab than not. And so one runs to Florida or one runs to Texas.
Yeah.
Will those problems follow you.
Right.
It's a huge thing to uproot. I mean, for me to do that, much probably like you, I have to leave my children, my grandchildren. I don't have anybody anywhere that I'm close to in states that I think are freer.
Right.
Yet I know that can change in a dime. I mean, my concern mostly is that we are living in a lawless society. They are not abiding by the rules, state or federal.
Totally.
So if the federal government continues to do what they're doing, what will it matter where you are?
Well, that's,
That's the
problem. Where we land at a lot. Right.
There's a great site that I highly recommend. It's called the Conservative Treehouse.
Okay. I'm writing it down.
And the author, nobody really knows who he is. His name is Sundance, and you'll see him be referred to Sundance.
Okay.
They do incredible writing. He and whoever writes with him, amazing stuff. And Sundance predicted before Biden ever occupied the White House that not only was he spot on who his cabinet members would be, Sundance, he was spot on in what they would do. And one of the things he talked about back in the fall, which was bone chilling to me, was that Buttigieg would attempt to prevent interstate travel. And first, I saw it where they were going to start charging people by miles. And then I saw that they were going to start to prevent people who have not been vaccinated from being able to leave the state.
Right.
This is our federal government.
Yeah.
So would it matter if you went to Florida or Texas, unless they succeed?
Right.
You know, where are we protected? I think that's the most horrifying thought of all. There's little protection for those of us who still believe in freedom and liberty.
Yeah.
The vaccine passport is the end of that luxury.
I'm sure you saw Joe Biden, I think it was earlier this week or maybe the end of last, where he was talking about this interstate vaccine passport thing or vaccination requirement. And then he's like, I think it might be a little too much right now for the American people. So he kind of pulled back and said, as of this moment, we're not, but he's
a liar.
Talking about it. Well, it's right there. I mean, they're telling us what they're going to do next. So it's just,
so they're not doing it by a federal imposition. Mm-hmm. They're doing it by big business.
Sure. You know, well, right. It's happening.
They're using them to weaponize us because they don't have the legal jurisdiction to do it right now.
Sure.
That's why they're doing it the way they're doing it. All these companies that are requiring the jab are in bed with the leftist, whether they've received money from them, whether they've gotten favors, they've been bribed, whatever their rationale for doing this is nefarious, because if you understand the science, you know that these vaccines are not in any human's best interest right now.
Right.
And
I know. In your work, I'm just so curious for anyone listening right now and in the future on this recording, how would you recommend, because obviously fear takes such a hold and a root in our health, and that plays into everything that I'm sure you've seen with a lot of people's diseases and just challenges. How do you keep a steady mind during this whole thing? I mean, this is all just uncharted territory. Do you have any tools or tricks, or how do you recommend us living in this moment and being present as we can? It's super hard. It's a big challenge.
Right. I think the most important thing, and it's a challenge I have every day, because one of the most difficult things I think a human being has to attempt to attain is faith. Mm-hmm. Faith in a higher power. Faith in a belief that you will be cared for and you will be protected, even if it's an eternal life. That we cannot control those things that are out of our control. All we can control is what we are capable of controlling, one of which would be our minds. And we have to have the courage to do that. And we have to have the courage to stand on this hill. Like I said to my kids the other day, because they think I'm nuts. Like, Mom, you honestly, if somebody offered you $1 million, would you take the jab? No. Well, how can you say that? I go, very easily. Because my health is worth way more than $1 million. And I would rather not live in this world if I have to be sick, or my freedoms are taken away.
Yeah.
I believe that there's a better place, and this isn't it. And if you've lived long enough, you know that. You know the inequities, the tragedies. And they come about, for the most part, out of cowardice. You know, not being willing to have conviction, to have a very clear definition of what morals and values you hold, and then being able to support those. And if you don't have a clear understanding of that, you're a lost sheep.
Yeah.
Everything becomes an influence to you. You know, as Kennedy once said, John F. Kennedy, if you don't stand for something, you fall for everything.
I love that one.
Yeah. So you got to decide what you want to stand for.
Yeah, it's really interesting because we're like you. I mean, we're all human. We waffle. We have our emotions come up and it's really challenging. We mostly are, you know, in a place of faith. You know, we're Christians and we stand high to that calling. But I did have a moment, I have to admit, the other day I was in the backyard and I'm watering, you know, our trees. And I thought, you know, cause I said, I will never take this thing and I won't, you know, but I was like, gosh, you hear all this talk about these, you know, shielding camps they're trying to pass and that, you know, basically they're saying we could separate families and put the high risk people over here. And I mean, that means they're ripping parents from children and children from parents at that point in the future. And I thought, gosh, if they're going to take our kids away, would I be willing to take the jab to keep my family together? And for, I had that like small moment where I'm like, well, either way, I'm going to go down. Do I want to go down like being around my kids or like separated from my children? And then I smacked back into my head and I had just listened to something on Sunday of this pastor guy I listened to in Hawaii. And he was just like talking about the story in the Bible about Daniel and how, you know, they refused to bow down to this golden idol that was made. And those three guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they threw into the fire for those who don't know the story. But, you know, they said that they believe, they're like, our God will protect us. We are not bowing down, even if that means going into the fire and literally dying. But then they followed up with, they said, but if we do perish, basically it's okay because we're going, you know, to our ultimate better place and God has us. And I thought, gosh, it's so human though, to just go to those moments of fear and even have that bizarre conversation in my head of like, what am I doing? Like what am, cause it's so easy to just like get overtaken by those moments, you know?
Well, because the most primal fear any human has is death.
Well, sure.
So if you start there, it's very easy to understand how people become destabilized based on that. Very few people can say, oh, yeah, I'm not afraid of death. And if they do, I think they're lying. Sure. I think they have faith in their God. I think you have to have faith in something bigger than yourself in order to soothe those moments when one becomes extremely nervous about an example like you just gave. The thought of having your children separated from you is
unbearable. It's the worst thing that could happen.
And that's exactly what they want you to do. They want you to be completely terrorized. And I go back to World War II. I go back to the Nazi regime. They did that to the Jews. They took their children away. They shot their children in front of them. They took babies and flung them in the air. I'm reading a book right now called Born Survivors.
Who wrote that?
You know, I shouldn't say I'm reading it. I listen to it on Audible. I go back and forth to Manhattan Beach. It's not exactly like upbeat, but hold on, I'll tell you. You know, when you don't have the book in your hand, you don't.
Sure.
Like, that's the downside to Audibles. You don't have I'm doing it right now for you. Hold on one sec.
Thanks.
Going to my Audible account. And when you listen to this, like I was telling one of my kids the other day, it was bone chilling to me to hear what people endured.
Yeah. The reality. I know.
Right.
I know.
And it is really no different than what's going on right now.
No.
They had the oven. Here's the analogy. They had the oven or the concentration camp, AKA the green zone, the whatever the CDC is calling it right now, or you have the jab. Both things render you in the same place.
Right.
You have no control and they're going to harm you. And yet those people, like there were people who, like I was listening to one of the stories where this woman was telling, and it's but three women who survived and their children are telling a story. Three women gave birth in the concentration camps. And let me tell you who the author is. Wendy Holden is the author. It's a story of three young mothers and their extraordinary tale of survival and hope.
Born survivor. I mean, it's, I'm sure it's really hard, but really, I mean, these are the times we're living.
But it illustrates, my point is why being reminded of that and what people did, like one of my other favorite books on the planet is Man's Search for Meaning.
Oh, I know. Viktor Frankl.
Viktor Frankl.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically a memoir of his, that's a bad choice.
Yeah. I know what you mean.
Of what his experiences were in the concentration camps.
Mm-hmm.
And the different personalities.
Yeah. Right.
You know, and how these people made sense of something so
horrific,
insane, like what we're going through now.
It's insane.
Anybody with a modicum of common sense knows this all doesn't make any sense, because you have physicians coming out from all over the world, virologists, epidemiologists, the gentleman who invented mRNA, Robert Malone, Dr. Robert Malone, saying this vaccine's bad, yet they've just, again, emergency approved the third booster.
Now, did they? It went through?
Yes. Yes. So... like I said, if you have a modicum of common sense, you stand back and go, what the hell is going on?
But
this
it's insane. I do have to follow up though with that conversation I had in my head at the end of it. I had mentioned to Justin about it. I'm like, gosh, this is where I went in my mind. And then I was like, come on. But he goes, yeah, at the end of it all, I mean, even if the very worst thing happened, which is, you know, your kids being taken from you or whatever, he goes, wouldn't we want our kids to know ultimately that we stood for something?
That's
right. Because that's what we would want them to do for their kids. That's what I would hope my parents would do. I mean, at least we stood, you know, if we're all down.
That's right, because it's going to happen anyway.
Yeah,
if they're going to take our kids, they're going to take them.
Yeah,
like who knows what's fact or fiction that came out of Australia yesterday,
mm-hmm.
relative to they took children to a stadium, and the thought was they were jabbing them against parental consent. They took the children to a stadium. I've heard story after story about similar things, like even in the military.
Mm.
Where women have taken their kids to military doctors and said they didn't want their kids to be vaccinated. And they took the kids away from the parents under a different story.
Mm-hmm.
And those children were vaccinated against their parents' will. So it's kind of like, wake up, everybody. It's been going on for a long time.
Well, it's been going on forever. Like I was talking with friends that have worked in the schools. And I mean, for many, many years, you can be a pregnant teen.
Right.
And they'll take you during school if you choose to have an abortion or you want to go get care. I mean, outside of the parents don't have to know what's going on, you know?
Same with birth control.
Same with birth control.
We pay for it.
Vaccines now.
It's on our insurance, but they can get birth control without parental consent. Wait till your kids. I mean, I'll never forget when my daughter was going to college, my first kid.
Hmm.
We went to the orientation and we were told that we were not going to be able to have access to their grades. That only the kids were able to, and they would have to sign a form releasing authorization that we could actually have access to their grades. I raised my hand and go, excuse me, who's paying the tuition here? And the guy was like, that's the law. That's the way it is. Your child has to let us know whether or not you can have access to their grades. They're in control of their grades, and they can either give a letter saying we can send you simultaneously their report card, or you don't get it. And that's when I went, there's something wrong here. I had always been suspicious. I was not a product of public education. I went to private school my whole life until nursing school. When my children were at Manhattan Beach, public school, I started to become extremely uncomfortable. I couldn't believe what my kids were saying to me when they came home from school. Like what teachers said. Mm. And I would go up to the school and I would question it. And of course, I was labeled as a pain in the ass parent, but fortunately, I don't care.
Right.
I didn't change anything, but they knew I was in their face all the time. There was a young boy yesterday, a young man, he was probably early teens, who spoke at the school board meeting. He was probably autistic.
Hmm.
He brought me to tears. And he talked about on their Zoom education of last year.
Yeah.
One of his teachers would make them watch CNN.
Hmm.
And I thought, how many parents know that kind of nonsense goes on?
Right.
And then I heard, for example, at this school district, 74% of the population is Hispanic. Children in the school, 74%.
In your district?
Yes.
In Riverside?
Yes. No, well, it's...
Or is it Riverside County?
It's Riverside County, but it's called the Desert Sands Unified School District. So that would encompass, I'm probably going to forget some of it, but look, the big highlights, La Quinta, Palm Desert,
sure.
Indio.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Palm Springs has its own school district. So it's pretty much everything else except for Palm Springs. I think, I'm not sure about Rancho Mirage. It doesn't matter. But that's a staggering statistic.
That is, yeah.
So when you have said, I'm not... This is a factual statement, and it has nothing to do with my bias, my prejudice. It's an academic statement. You have 74% of the student body is Hispanic. You don't have parental involvement for the majority of those kids. Most of those parents are barely able to survive. They're working one job, two jobs. They are not able to go to school board meetings and advocate for their children. That's why people like me started going.
Well, that, you know, I needed to hear that today because it's funny not having school-age children, but I'm like, you know, we're watching all this stuff on social media of just people. They need bodies. They need people who are educated and know what's up to show up, whether or not you have a school-age kid or not, because I'm fighting for their future. You know, I need to start fighting for their future.
I'm paying property taxes. I'm paying totally. For their educations.
Totally.
I am totally funding this project. So my position is I'll be damned if I'm going to fund a project that does not correlate with core values and supports the U.S. Constitution, the Bill of Rights,
yeah.
our liberties and our freedoms.
Amen.
I will go down fighting for that. I will not allow any of those people to get away with it. In fact, I sat in the front row just to piss them off. Like, the father, who is this woman? And I was the first one to jump up when that kid finished speaking and shook his hand.
Good for you.
I was the first one clapping when somebody made a good comment. And they probably thought, who is this person? I had no intention of speaking. I didn't sign up to speak because I thought, I'm just going to go and observe and just see what goes on. Cause I had never done it before. I'd heard about it. I imagine what they would be like.
Yeah.
And I've known people who've been on the school boards in Manhattan Beach. So like any other politician, they do it with their own personal agenda attached.
I'm going to start going to ours though. It's funny. Like, I feel like I needed to hear that. Just this, it's funny. All these things you're talking about are things.
Every parent, anybody who has a child,
totally.
Anybody who pays taxes, right. relative to property taxes, who right. is participating by monetary demand, which is your taxes,
right.
you have an obligation to go to these meetings and see how your money's being spent and how the educational system is representing either a Marxist system.
Totally.
Or supports the constitutional republic that we all are supposed to be living under. And CRT, critical race theory, is a classic example of a Marxist indoctrination.
For sure.
And
with
that alone, every single person who believes in this country and believes in freedom and liberties should be harassing, for lack of a better word, every one of them on a regular basis.
I'm with you.
Your city council.
Yeah.
Because they're just as bad relative to thinking that they don't have to answer to the taxpayer, and they hope that you'll all be too busy, too distracted to get in their face. Like, the last thing I wanted to do last night, to be honest with you, was go to this thing.
I don't blame you.
It was 107 degrees here. Ugh. It was the end of the day.
You're tired.
And they were going to have a rally, and I drove there. I thought, motivate, go with these parents. I drove to the school district at 5:20, and there was nobody there. I thought, did I get it wrong? So I drive all the way home and I thought, okay, that's it. I'm done. I'm not going back. Meeting was at 7. And then I started thinking about it and thought, you have no right to bitch if you don't get off your ass and go back there.
Right.
You have no reason not to tonight, except you don't feel like it. And so I thought, when you go when it really is painful, you go when you don't want to go.
Yeah.
And then after last night, when I'm in town, I won't miss one of them. And I will start emailing every single one of them on a regular basis.
Good for you.
If for no other reason, they have got to know people are paying attention. And at some point, there has to be accountability. They cannot dodge you for so long. They can't hide behind their mask. They can't walk out of a room.
Right.
I mean, they can do it. But then, okay, what's our recourse? When a school board walks out of a meeting, when a school board doesn't think they have to sit there,
answer to anybody.
Right. Yeah. What is
there's zero accountability. But yeah. If we keep pushing, I agree though, at some point they're not going to be able to outrun us.
That's right. But they're counting on us. And I'm embarrassed to admit I was part of it for years and years and years. I was too busy running a business, working, raising my family, whatever I was doing. I wasn't paying attention because I just trusted.
Well, they're banking on that. That's why we've gotten to where we've all gotten.
Right.
Now people
are
scrambling.
All the distractions.
Right.
Those are the distractions. Like I was just reading today. Forget about the Taliban. Forget about voter integrity. Focus on the vaccine passport because that's the end of the road. As Naomi Wolf said, the day a vaccine passport becomes part of our lifestyle is a requirement. Liberty is over in the West. It's over. We're done. Because it's not just about the vaccine passport. The end game is social credit score, like they use in China.
Right.
That's what it's about. But the American public, because they don't know about that.
But I have to say, people are waking up, and I'm super encouraged. They are. I see it daily.
I agree.
It's awesome.
Agree.
Hey,
but
Devin.
Not enough.
Oh, hey.
Yeah. Oh, hey. I saw you pop up.
I was like the only one in the video, and I wasn't sure.
No, it's good to see you. I haven't seen your hair's growing out. It's adorable.
Oh, thanks. Yeah.
You look really cute.
That's nice coming from a hairstylist.
Oh, no, it's really cute. I dig it. It's super fun.
Adding to that, has anybody felt like last month or when they were doing the Arizona recount? I just like had a feeling. I'm like, you know what? There's going to be some other emergency. We're going to all turn our heads and attend to, because at the end of August, which is this month, they're supposed to release the counts, like the voting count in Arizona. And then this happens with Afghanistan. And I'm just like, can we just watch history repeat itself over and over? Like there's always a distraction from the actual news, you know? And they did it to themselves. Like it's their, like you said, the Marxist administration that actually like made this mistake, and now it's going worldwide. But it's a good distraction against like their other.
Well, it's like you could read their playbook. We always are like, of course.
Right.
It's ridiculous how obvious it all becomes, you know, like. In my opinion, but sure. I mean, bring out exactly what Dory was saying. Bring out, you know, come out big, keep the whole world focused on this awful, sad, you know, emotionally challenged, you know, like just something to keep everybody super tied up. It's always going to happen. It's from what's really going on. I don't know though. Did you guys hear that they ended up saying that they are not going to release, the votes, the ballots?
I haven't paid attention.
For some reason, I'm thinking that they also went back on that and said that they are not going to be, it's going through some lawsuit again. I don't know.
Well, that's the whole agenda.
Well,
that's
right.
The Perkins Coie.
That's
down
the
whole
road.
Democratic. They're going to do everything. They'll set the building on fire if they can. Like they've done
it
already.
Right. I know. 9/11. What happened to that other building where all the things were stored? Come on, guys.
That was 20 years ago. I mean,
it's so obvious though.
It is. And yeah, you're right. They're going to file a lawsuit. This guy, my dad, he knows all these people's names. Like they're his best friends. Like I don't
good
know.
For him.
I know, right? He's
good
like,
for him.
He's my news guy because I cannot watch it. And then I talk to him every day and I let him tell me these people. But he said some name was filing a lawsuit and the person has no jurisdiction to do it, to file a lawsuit against the state. But it's a state's right to recount. It's like ridiculous. It's just like another delaying system or whatever, you know, to delay the process.
They're going to delay the system till they lock us all down.
Right. Exactly.
Right. That's exactly what they're doing. As far as I'm concerned.
Colleen, what were you going to say?
Well, I was, I'm obviously just listening to hear what everybody's saying. And I'm right now, I'm kind of in a little bit of a situation here in Boston where I basically got kicked out of my job because I did not want to get the jab. And, it's getting to the point now where I thought I would have a placement and they were going to put me somewhere I work for an outsourcing company, so they have a lot of resources. So I was all set to go to a place on Monday. And then when they told them that I was unvaccinated, they said that I wasn't, was not able to come. So I got another placement now
but it's at a university and they're about as crazy as you can get. So I'm only expecting it to be kind of temporary. Mm-hmm. But Kate, with your relationship with Dr. B,
yeah.
Do you have any, has he given you any insight into the state national program that he's been working on? And I've been really researching this and I feel like that this is what Dory was talking about, all these things with the courts and everything. These courts and stuff, they're part of a different organization. We have not been a government of the people, by the people, for the people in a very long time, in over 160 years. Right. And the court system is not meant for us. We will never win in their court systems. And these, you know, the whole country, it takes a lot to wrap your head around what he's talking about, what this movement is really about. And it's not really a movement. It's an awakening of what really history is and what has happened to us. And it all kind of boils into like the greed of people and how they manipulate and use people as commodity and things of that nature. So the fact that we're in this position right now and it's so it's being fought very hard, they're trying to, you know, kind of grab. They know about this movement and they have to make an impact now before they can't. Yeah. The longer, the more strength that the national movement, you know, gains, the less they will be able to control. So, I mean, it's frustrating to be in their system. But as a part of their system, which we all are, we don't really have the opportunity to get out of that. We have to submit to whatever they say because we are basically owned by them. So we're struggling. We think we have rights, but they were, you know, we don't have them. So, but that's where that movement really got, it really resonated with me. And I kept saying, like Dr. B had said, that, like, you know, I just feel like, you know, we don't have our freedom. We don't have our voice and like we're supposed to have. And there's a real reason why. And if you just look at the history and try to wrap your head around what it says, really, it does really make sense to, you know, if you move in that direction to understand where we actually are and why we got to get out of this system and just take our government back. To be the way it was intended.
Yeah, I feel like I started learning so much when Justin like dived maybe 8-9 years ago into, was it the work of Brandon Adams? I'm going to get the guy's name wrong. I'll post it later in the chat, but he's just all about law, contract law, all this maritime law, like stuff I had no idea. Like I had no idea that we basically aren't ever free. We're never born free. We think we all live in America and free, free, free. There is no such thing. So we're having to reinvent the wheel. I mean, that's exactly what I think this is all about. It's going to take a resistance that we've never had before because it's never been done. The minute you're born, you're not free. I mean, when we were talking about, do we get our kids a social security? You're in the system. There is no, you're not a sovereign person, you know?
Right. But the structure is there. The infrastructure is there. We're not really reinventing the wheel because it's there. It's just been kind of sideswiped. You know, and taking over. So it is there. And I think that there's some really smart people that are on this and that if they can get some more traction, then I think that we can really make a difference as far as pulling our country back in line.
We're going to have to do it. And yeah, yeah, that's true. Maybe the structure is there, but it's never been done.
It has. It was as of 1867, it was there. And then there was a little bit of like, sleight of hand, so to speak, between other people that were in control, and it got taken, and we were taken, and we've been ever since. You know, I keep trying to put an actual scenario that I can put my finger on to explain to people what it is, and I kind of like I was dwelling a little bit on like when somebody steals your identity, they take your name and from your whatever your records are, and then they start to become you. Mm-hmm. And they act like you, even though they're not you.
They assume your stuff.
Exactly. They take your identity. And this is what these people have done ever since they just started doing this. When you're a little baby and your mom fills out that birth certificate in the hospital, she virtually has given you over to that corporation. And then they create a ghost entity of you. And they make money off of that. They barter it with it. And they barter on your productivity,
signature, your I know
everything, and it's very difficult for us to wrap our heads around it. And I, I often like look, I'm understanding the Matrix movie a whole lot better now.
Right.
Yeah, I never used to understand that movie at all until this started coming to light, and at least in my mind and stuff. And I'm very, especially now that what has happened to me, I feel like changing my political status is the only way to protect myself from getting a jab and stuff. And if I want to start my own business, it's going to have to be a private business, not a public business, so that nobody can tell me how to run my business. You know, you can't have a public business because the government will always tell you how to run it. And we always say, oh, it's my business, but everybody is just acquiescing and doing whatever the government says. And they don't have to. It's their business. But because of the way they've run it and given the government authority on it, they can do whatever they want. We are really under their thumb. And for sure. Even though we don't want to be, we're Americans. I think that's where our hearts beat, right in there. That's we beat freedom. This is what America is made of, but we don't even realize it's been taken. So it's important that everybody goes to those meetings, like Dory was saying, because that's where that stuff comes to light. It really shines a light on the corruptness of our government and right down to the local level. It really is corrupt, and all we can do is take it back.
Well, I commend you, because that's a really big deal when it starts to come that close. You know, and all of a sudden it's not just out there. It's your job. It's your livelihood. It's your having to come up with something and go a different route. I mean, if we all did that, like we were saying, you know, with Dory, it's like, if we all had that kind of courage, I mean, there's so many of us, more than I think that we think that there are. So this is what it's going to take. I mean, we're going to lose jobs. We're going to lose comfort. We're going to lose a lot, but what we can gain if we all band together. And that's just, I think we're trying to figure out that's why I love groups like this, or just, you know, I hate social media, but I love it because you feel like you have Devin's like, I know, because
a little bit of a tribe going,
love, right? Hate relationship, but you know, you're not alone. Cause all of a sudden you're like 55,000 people agreed with that statement. I mean, we're out there, you know, but I can't imagine, Colleen. I mean, that's so gnarly to have that happen to you. There's a nurse that lives a couple doors down. There's two nurses in our neighborhood, and they both refuse to get the jab. And it's just so interesting. They both work in a hospital setting, and they're not doing it. And so they're having to acquiesce to get this testing, you know, once a week or twice a week or whatever, they COVID test, and they make them pay for it out of their own pocket. And they're suffering. They're single moms. I mean, but they're doing it. And I'm like, this is what we're going to feel the squeeze. It's not going to be comfortable. It's
They have to know that there's other people that are on their side. Cause I mean, just knowing that there's other people that are of the same mind really does give you the boldness and the courage to kind of, you know what, I'm not by myself. And part of mind control is to make you think you're by yourself, and you're not. So just, you know, realize that you're not alone.
Amen.
Yet people on the West Coast and the East Coast and everybody in between. So, you know, all we got to do is take our states back, and don't leave California. I love that state.
Thank you, Colleen.
Take it back.
And that's where I vacillate. I'm like, I'm going to be the last man standing. Like some days I'm all like, reclaim California. Because I thought if, cause I agree with Dory. Like at some point I'm like, where do we all run? I mean, Isla and his wife, they're in Dominican. It's worldwide, you know, it's just a matter of, can you outrun it for a while longer and be more comfortable? But I'm like, I don't really think this is about being comfortable anymore. We're in the fight of our lives, and I love my state. I love my yard. I love my garden. I love being close to my family. I love the beach. Like there's so many things. I'm not looking to move. So am I really going to let them like corner me and scare me and make, that's where it's going to take being super, super feeling like a fish out of water, but just, you know, standing up for what we believe. I mean, I don't think I've ever been challenged in my whole life to stand up for what I believe. And this is a really big deal. And coming from somebody who's so empathic and non-confrontational, and I hate all that stuff, but I'm finding out like what kind of courage you have when you dig deep. It's in there, and I'm seeing Mama Bear kind of come out, and like, I will roar and I will obviously protect my family and my kids. But now I'm like, yeah, I'm feeling like this, like maybe everyone's leaving around me, but I want to be the last man standing. If we go down, like, I guess I'll go down with it. I mean, somebody's got to stand. Or where are you, Colleen? Would you say Boston?
Boston. Boston. I'm a suburb of Boston. It's just, we're just, I use Boston because it's kind of well known as a good landmarker, but I'm about 20 minutes north or south of New Hampshire, 40 minutes north of Boston. So we're kind of like in the middle here. But, you know, it's just a matter of time. I feel like that, you know, before I can't find a job. And at that point, you know, I even question whether I could even claim unemployment because of my reason for not being employed. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I'm just saying, okay, well, once I can't get a job, am I going to be able to ask for unemployment? Because they're going to say, well, you should have got the jab and then you'd be totally employed.
I don't know if they're going to, let me interrupt you. I don't know if they're going to be able to get away with that. I still hold my conviction that this is all bully tactics.
If you
look at things through a common sense standpoint, mm-hmm. first of all, the jab has not been approved by the FDA. Therefore, no one can be forced to take it. Mm-hmm. You must be given informed consent. Mm-hmm. You cannot give informed consent to something that doesn't have the materials or the composition of the injection printed on a piece of paper. Anybody who gives a jab doesn't know what they're doing. And by law, for example, my license says to me, when I give anything, I am obligated to know what it is I'm giving.
Yeah.
So you have three things going on. You have a non-approved drug. You have lack of informed consent. And you have your right to deny medical treatment. Currently in the United States of America, we have a right to our body sovereignty. They don't want you to believe that or think it's going to hold up. And after Pfizer gets approved, which I don't even understand how it's supposed to be approved in September, and I think this is another bluff, is it is not supposed to be approved until 23. Moderna is supposed to be approved in 22, and Pfizer wasn't going to be approved until 23. So how can they all of a sudden make this happen in September?
Right.
I mean, they've already, you know, bypassed the clinical trials.
Right.
They've been caught falsifying the documentation. They stopped doing a control group. They have violated every rule of traditional research, science, and medicine.
Right.
So have faith that there are people all over the country who are suing them.
Right.
Once again, it gets caught in the system. But if it's caught in the legal system, until there's rulings, it can't go forward, but they will try like hell to make everybody panic.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the most powerful ways to do that is through your livelihood.
Right.
The fear of losing your job. Yet, right. I don't mean to minimize it because I understand what people are going through. I empathize greatly. But I know this, if they succeed, we're not going to have jobs anyway. We're going to be slaves. You're not going to have the job you think you're going to have. They're going to tell you what you're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to tell you where you're going to go and how you're going to do it.
Yeah.
So you either roll your dice and say, I'm going to stand on this hill.
Mm-hmm.
And I will play the game only so long. The other thing I take offense to, very much so, is the usage of the PCR test.
Right.
I mean, let's talk about the absurdity of that. The CDC came out and said several weeks ago that it's a fraudulent test, that it cannot differentiate between the flu and COVID. So for the last year and a half and presently, they are still conducting that PCR test and using that as a barometer. And it also was given approval under the emergency use authorization. So think about that. You have the CDC saying it's an invalid test, yet they're still making everybody do it. And they're not going to stop until 12/31. They're going to introduce a new test.
Hmm.
And I can only imagine what that is because Bill Gates and George Soros bought the largest PCR company around the same time the CDC came out and said the test was fraudulent. Now, anybody who knows anything about the PCR test knew back in the inception of the usage, it was fraudulent because the gentleman who invented the PCR test said it was never meant to be a diagnostic tool.
Right.
And anytime you run it after over a certain threshold, you are picking up dead virus. And one can argue about whether it's a 20 cycle threshold or 30 cycle threshold,
45.
But they pretty much know that anything over, I'm going to be generous and say 25 cycle thresholds is useless.
Right.
And only what it does prior to 25, it shows a suggestion of an infectious process, an inflammatory process in the DNA that they're looking at. It does not conclusively state anything more than that. It's suggestive.
Wow.
So if I knew that back in January of last year, you right. can't tell me the NIH, the CDC, and everybody involved in those groups didn't know what they now are admitting they know.
But that's now. What's so funny. It like it doesn't matter. They admitted it, and we're like,
that's
oh,
what I'm saying.
It doesn't mean anything. Like it's just
so
it's
if lawlessness
insanity.
Works for them,
right.
let it work for you.
Yeah.
I'm not
like Nicole just said, it's criminal. It's
right.
insane.
But people are doing it. If people said, I'm not taking a PCR test, you give yeah. me an antigen test.
Yeah.
You let me see by an actual blood test.
Yeah.
That's the real way to determine whether or not somebody has the inflammatory process of COVID. COVID is the inflammatory process as a result of a SARS-CoV-2 virus.
Right.
And I implore you to listen to Dr. Cole. I don't know if any of you guys have heard Dr. Cole speak.
I have not.
He's a pathologist out of Ohio, I believe. Anyway, he gives some very powerful statements as to the absurdity of the PCR test. And this guy's been doing it and talks about the jab and the deleterious effects of the jab. And of course, and he runs one of the largest diagnostic labs in Ohio. So this guy is not somebody who isn't been intimately involved with testing on a number of different specimens and lab evaluations. So he's really an authority, far more than Walensky at the CDC, who seems to be a moron. She seems to be a puppet. I mean, I don't know where that woman got her medical degree. She's frightening. She comes out and says she's afraid of the virus. This is a director of the CDC. Once again, circle back to fear. You right, have this right. director of the CDC coming out and telling you she's afraid of the virus.
Yeah.
Get a pack of balls, lady. Come on.
Totally. Did you see that? I know, right? Did you see that we were laughing this week that, or not laughing, but it's just, it's so like, it's all just, you feel like you're just, we are in the Matrix. It's crazy. But how posted, it was a post about a ex-KGB worker.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, he basically said, if you can instill fear in people and propaganda for 2 months, just 2 months, you can't undo the mind control that they have
on
you.
That's correct.
Yeah. And it's like, so look at how many months we're into this. And it's just like you said, Walensky, it's just fear, fear, fear. They're afraid. We're afraid. Everyone's afraid of a 99.98 or whatever percent survival rate. It's just, they've taken something and made something out of nothing. I mean, it's just, it's insane.
It's crazy, I know.
It's maddening. It's just, it's like, why are we all talking about this? It's so stupid.
There is this, it's called actualize.org. It's a YouTube channel. It's this guy that goes on like hour-long tangents. Well, they're more like 2 or 3 hours. But sometimes I like enthrall on what he has to say because they're really great points. And the last thing he said was, we live in the social matrix. And he said, this is the conspiracy of all conspiracies. It's when people just receive information, we all do it, without tracing the source. But when we trace the source, we go back into a loop of somebody initially sourcing something unreliable. And that's
right,
what we do
once we're
caught in the loop. It's like we just, and we don't get out of it because people are still saying, oh man, I like in the back of all of our subconscious heads, like the fear of COVID is still the biggest thing to worry about. I mean, there's no other news that we're being blasted with that is of significance than this COVID virus. You know what worries me? They're developing, I heard Fauci, my dad told me this too. So it's on the mainstream news, but Fauci's developing like, and this is something that I'd be more worried about and is more realistic, is parasites and like a parasite, not to creep everybody out, but I feel like that would be more pandemic. If there's like this mega tapeworm that kills us all.
Oh, jeez.
Well, do you know that ivermectin is an anti-parasitic drug?
Really? So about that. Is it
that's why we were laughing. They sell it at the tack and feed store.
Yes, what? They do.
For horses and for, yeah, you can go to the local like tack and feed store and grab ivermectin. We're like, oh, yeah, Lynn's shaking her head. So we found out it was an anti-parasitic too. It's crazy.
But what's interesting about it, if you just take a step back and think about this particular drug, has been known for years to have antiviral properties. For years. And so we have gone through how many flu seasons, and that's never been brought forward?
Right. Right.
And, you know, if you can, I don't even like to give any credence to positive things related to COVID, but I was listening to a physician by the name of Lee Merrick talking. I don't know if you know who Lee Merrick is.
Uh-huh.
And when this whole started and we were all locked in our houses, those of us who tried to make things proactive started doing research. And so as a physician, she started doing that and reached out to one of her colleagues and medical school student friends who was an Indian doctor who had one of his old textbooks sitting around, and he had figured out that drugs such as ivermectin were very powerful and had been used already in the effort to fight viral infection. Mm. And yet, what do we get every year shoved down our throat? The flu shot. I mean, all this stuff that has been hidden from us because it had benefit, yet it's a drug that has been on the market for 40, 50, I don't know how many years. Don't quote me on it. But it's no longer, they can't make money on the drug, just like hydroxychloroquine. In certain countries, hydroxychloroquine is bought over the counter.
Wow.
Like in Africa, they call it the Sunday drug. They take it once a week.
Oh, do they really?
To prevent malaria, because hydroxychloroquine is used in the treatment of malaria.
Huh.
It's a ionophore drug. Anyway, that's irrelevant. But
do you have it on hand, Dori?
Oh, yes, I do.
Yeah, because we were talking. We really need to stock up on that stuff. I've been having this conversation.
I have been taking hydroxychloroquine since August of last year.
Have you really?
Prophylactically, yes.
Do you need a prescription for that?
Yes. However,
how do you get it?
I'll tell you in a minute. The second best thing, if you cannot get hydroxychloroquine, which you're going to have a very hard time getting it right now, mm-hmm. because of the demand. Mm-hmm. But in the interim period, everybody should be on quercetin.
Mm-hmm. And zinc.
And zinc. Mm-hmm. Quercetin is very much like, it's a zinc ionophore, very mm-hmm. much like hydroxychloroquine. And if you're asymptomatic, quercetin will work just as well, taking it every day. There's a doctor by the name of Zev Zelenko. I don't know if you guys know him.
What's his name?
Zev Zelenko, Dr. Okay. Zelenko.
Uh-huh.
Z-E-L-E-N-K-O.
Okay. Oh, Yeah.
Okay, Dr. Zelenko figured out, based on necessity, how to treat his COVID patients. He's a very Orthodox Jew who, you know, had a patient population in the Borscht Belt in New York. When he figured this out, he contacted the President of the United States at the time. Mark Meadows, I guess, got the email or the video. He had his son send him a video. Zev Zelenko sent Donald Trump a video that his son made. Said he had never done a video. I was like, I'd have a son do it with him. Mark Meadows called him on the phone and said, tell us more. Hmm. And that's around the time you heard Trump say on the lawn mm-hmm. at one of the first COVID meetings about hydroxychloroquine.
Yep.
Within days, the governor of New York prohibited the dispensing of hydroxychloroquine. So Dr. Zelenko got busy trying to figure out how he could circumvent that particular crime against humanity. And he figured out that quercetin was the second best thing.
How much do you recommend? I mean, we don't have it. I know that it's along there. We were about to stock up with zinc and try to find the hydroxychloroquine just in case and stuff. But how much is a person supposed to take?
the quercetin, it depends on. So what I would recommend you all do is go on AmericanFrontlineDoctors.org.
Yeah.
And or Zev Zelenko's website.
Mm-hmm.
So many of these guys now have the protocols, and it'll tell you on a, I mean, I've stocked up on all of it. And now Dr. Zelenko sells vitamins, and I want to support him. So I bought his quercetin combo. I bought it from a whole bunch of different doctors, and, you know, Dr. Mercola, Stella Emanuel now is doing a vitamin line. So I'm trying to support all these guys, which is why I can't answer the question, because I have so many different quercetins in my cabinets now. So it's just a matter of go on and look at this, the protocols. I probably have them here. It'll just take me a minute to find it. But I recommend you go on their websites, because then you can order from them, support them. You can buy quercetin in probably any of the stores, nutritional stores, or even in the supermarket if they have it. People are buying it. Like, that's why I recommend stocking up on it, because yeah, the lovely FDA.
Cracking down on the supplements.
Yes, they are.
Oh, yeah.
And guess what's on the list?
Oh, zinc and quercetin.
Yes. Yes.
Vitamin C.
Yes. Yes. I could forward that to all. Yeah, I took a picture of it. I screenshot it. The other recommendation I would make relative to supplements is there's another supplement called NAC.
Oh, right.
I heard about that.
Mm-hmm. And that's supposed to interfere with the spike protein and the virility of the spike protein. When that came out, I heard it from Dr. Lee Merritt. It probably came out from other people, but that's, I heard her talk about that. And I immediately got on her website and I ordered NAC. And 3 days later, Amazon came out and said they weren't selling it. And the FDA was taking it off the market.
Of course.
They have since sued. Do you know if it's
still for sale on that website or no?
Yes, you can still get it, because I've been stockpiling NAC, mm-hmm. quercetin, zinc, obviously, vitamin D. I mean, the usual stuff. To answer your question about how do you get hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin, the three biggest sites to get it right now are speaktoanmd.com.
Oh, I haven't heard of that one. Speak to. Okay.
If you were to go on the American Frontline Doctors, they'll
have it.
Used to refer, how I got it originally back in late July. I'm back in the day when I was even on Twitter, because I had nothing else to do. It was the middle of the night, and I saw a tweet by Stella Emanuel, MD, who was a part of the American Frontline Doctors. She's the big black gal from Africa.
Yeah. She's awesome.
She is. She shared on this tweet that you could attain hydroxychloroquine from speaktoanmd.com. So I immediately did that. I was panicked because my daughter was having a baby, and I did not want to feel like I was possibly somebody who could spread COVID, because I was walking around. I refused to wear a mask. I just have been
living life
sort of a vigilant ever since this whole thing started.
Yeah.
Vigilante. So I fill out the form, I pay the money, and after it, I went, oh my God, Joy, what the hell did you just do? You have no idea if this is valid. You did no research. You just trusted this. And I was like, well, it's only $90. If I throw away $90, it's my own damn fault. The next morning, it's a Sunday. That morning, I get a phone call from somewhere in Ohio, and I don't generally answer phone calls from people I don't know.
Right.
So the person leaves a voicemail, and instead of listening to the voicemail, I hit the callback number, and the person answers the phone and says, hi, this is Dr. Palumbo. This is Dory O'Toole. I'm like, oh my God. So how do you know my name?
Creepy.
And he goes, well, I just left you a voicemail. And I'm Dr. Palumbo from speaktoanmd.com. I understand you want hydroxychloroquine.
No way.
Yes. It was so easy. I went, that
is super
this
cool.
Be.
Yeah.
So he basically says, here's how it's going to work. I'll put the paperwork in. I go, how can you do this? You're in Ohio. He goes, I'm licensed in California and Ohio. So he can write a script. So he said, this pharmacy will call you in about 3 days. It'll take that long for the paperwork to get where it needs to go. They will call you. They will take your credit card over the phone, and they will put the prescription in the mail to you. Okay, fine. I thought, let's see if that happens. Sure enough, like clockwork, boom, 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 came in the mail, paid the money. Talked to the nicest pharmacist up in Fresno. Couldn't have been nicer guys. And I got it. So ever since then, I have expanded my database on where you can get hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin. And going back to what I said earlier, I try to support all these people. I try to support Stella Emanuel. So I've gotten it from her organization. I continue to use speaktoanmd.com, and I have other ones now. And Dr. Zelenko is doing it. And I kept trying to get a hold of these people, and it will take days because they are so backed up. People from all over the world.
Do you know?
Pardon me?
The one you were just speaking of, is that still like pretty immediate or?
All of them. They're not immediate. That's the problem. That's why I implore people to get it now.
Yeah.
Because you want to have it ideally prophylactically, but more importantly, if you become symptomatic. And if you wait till you become symptomatic, it's hard to get through to these people. And they are, in all due respect, they are dealing with the symptomatic first. So mm-hmm. if you're wanting it for prophylaxis, you go down on the list. So get on one of their lists, and that's how you start. And I would encourage you to do it sooner than later, because if my predictions are right, they're going to clamp down on these people. They're going to come after them.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of time, because they do not want you to have access to hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin. That has been proven over and over again. You have physicians from all over the world talking about the efficacy and the safety of both those drugs, and yet you have governments all over the world refusing to allow the dispensing of the drugs. In India, before they had the Delta variant and the mass vaccination plan, they were handing it out to the, in India, they call them states, various states within the country of India, third world India. They were handing out ivermectin, vitamin D to the population because they knew it worked. And the countries that are refusing to allow it to be used are basically, in my opinion, intentionally trying to kill people, just like we did in this country, in the states of New York, California, where the governors got involved and refused to allow the pharmacist to dispense the drug, and also refused to have physicians be able to use drugs that have been on the emergency authorization list. I mean, not the emergency authorization, the essential drug list by the WHO, by the FDA. But because they were using it for an off-market purpose, they threw up the roadblock. Now, hydroxychloroquine is used for rheumatoid arthritis, for lupus. So it has multiple uses. But if a physician tries to write it for the usage of COVID, they get incredibly discriminated upon. And in some cases, pharmacists will not dispense it, even in states where it's allowed.
Are those drugs generic, or are they named?
Yes.
Generics. That's right.
Oh, yeah. I can't think of the name. If it's off market, there's a name for it.
Okay.
Yes. Hydroxychloroquine has been on the market for almost 70 years. So nobody has the patents any longer. So that's why they're cheap.
Is ivermectin, how long has that been around?
Upwards of 40 to 50 years. Quote me on those numbers. A long time.
Yeah.
Unlike remdesivir, which of course has been, fast track because of Fauci, and it costs over $2,000 for, one installation of it, and it has to be done IV, and you have to be in a hospital to get it. Whereas the whole point of early treatment is to keep you out of the hospital and to keep you from getting into what they call a cytokinase storm, which is when the virus replicates very rapidly and very deleteriously. So Zev Zelenko's, so I just, right before I got on this call, I had been trying to get a hold of Zelenko. And I was starting to get irritated. I'm like, could you at least have the courtesy to reply to my text? Mm-hmm. And the phone rings, and it's Zelenko's brother. I'm like, are you kidding? Are you serious? Is really you're his brother? And he said, we are so busy. Mm-hmm. And, I don't know if anybody knows this, and I'm not sharing anything that isn't common knowledge. Dr. Zelenko is very sick. Mm-hmm. He had last year a reoccurrence of cancer and has metastatic CA. And he's been under chemotherapeutic regime and radiation where he is in his treatments. But I don't know if he's as available as he used to be. Mm-hmm. But anyway, his brother told me they have they've added two practitioners on. And I could either call them. He would call them and give them my name. Or I could wait and possibly talk to Dr. Zelenko on Friday. I said, I am not critical. I don't need it except for prophylaxis. I don't want to take somebody else's spot. But at some point, I would like to talk to Dr. Delenko and get, you know, a prophylactic prescription. But so I don't want to be a pig about it because I have a lot.
Sure. Are they? You do have to have a video conference, and you're paying for an appointment. Is that right, also, Dori?
Correct. You have to have either some of them are doing. I don't know how they're getting away with this, but some of them are doing it by email. Mm-hmm. I have had both. I have had the telemed, and I have had actually just a phone call.
Yeah,
I wasn't even a telemed. They didn't see who I was. So yes, you need it in order for you to get a prescription of either of those two drugs or both. And some are recommending you take both prophylactically. You have to have a physician's order. They have to prescribe it, and then it has to go to a pharmacist for hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin. Not necessary for, obviously, quercetin. The other drug that has been very useful in symptomatic COVID, or if you were thinking you were going to get COVID, is budesonide. And there's a wonderful doctor who figured that out by the name of Dr. Richard Bartlett. And he has a website called butestinideworks.com. You can reach him. He's an incredibly generous, kind man.
Could you put that in the chat if you have a second?
Yeah, I'm not very good at that stuff, but I'll try.
I know.
I'm better at, so if I fail at that, I'm not good at all this stuff. And really tried not to be part of it. But anyway, give me somebody's email or phone and I will text it all or email it.
Can you see the chat room?
I don't know. How do you see it?
At the bottom of the screen.
I told you I'm not very intelligent.
Hover over the bottom of the screen and you'll see a thing in between the people and the green screen share.
Yeah, it'll say chat. It's like a little bubble.
I don't have that. I see Kate Stellman. I see something with me.
Okay, so if you hover down kind of near the bottom of that black box we're all looking at, does something pop up with like a bar that says participants or chat?
No.
No. Okay.
I don't know. But then again, hold on.
Yeah, no, it's okay.
Can you just put your email in the... Oh, yeah, you can't because...
I put mine
in. I can see all the participants. Wait a minute. Let's see what I can do.
No, I know. It's... Okay, mine is easy. If you can send it to me, it's just my name, Kate, at extremehealthradio.com. And then I'll put it into the chat.
Radio.
Yeah, I see, like, if she could just share that information, like, just detail it all out, because there's an awful lot there. And yeah.
No, that's a bit, hey, Doris, is extremely helpful.
Information.
Good, I'm glad. I want you all to write this down. This is one of the best you will ever see. It's called the FlemingMethod.com. And Fleming is spelled FLEMING.
One M?
Yes, that's what's different about it. So the FlemingMethod.com. Go to that website. The physician's name is Dr. Richard Fleming. He is also an amazing human being. On that website, he has what is called Event 2021. Mm-hmm. If you click on that tab, he has protocols. His generosity of information is amazing. He is also somebody, if you email him, he responds, which is, to me, just mind-boggling. The guy is an MD-JD.
Who has time for that? That's crazy.
He is so kind and he's been all over the internet. He's been interviewed a lot. Very, very, very prestigious physician, just like Peter McCullough. But he has gone out of his way to make accessible to everybody. If you just go on that website, you will be able to print up all the protocols, prophylactic protocol, early treatment, but he also goes through the pathophysiology. So you understand how COVID moves and what to do if you're in that process of movement, as well as prophylaxis.
Here's the question. Oh, yeah. Sorry.
You did a pretty good job of writing it in a layman's approach for the most part where you could. There's certain things that no matter how you try to write it in layman's terminology, it's complicated because it just is. But I think you did a great job.
Well, that is so helpful. I put that in the chat for everybody too. So maybe you could email me the other things if you think about, but what do you think of, you know, cause we always talk about, there's so many differing opinions about if those spike proteins are shedding. And if we're, you know, around vaccinated people, we're going to, you know, get some of the shedding. Do you know, A, do you think that's true? I'm just curious of your opinion. And B, would you be doing this just if that was your fear and you weren't even like afraid of COVID for the average person?
Would I be doing what?
All these protocols for the possible shedding of this vaccine?
I took the position back last year when I heard that hydroxychloroquine worked. I'm not somebody who takes medication freely or easily. Yeah. I have to really believe. And in order to minimize my fears and put myself in a position of power and control, I thought if that's a solution to the problem, I am willing to give it a shot. I had an extra advantage in respect to hydroxychloroquine, even though I would have done it anyway. I had already taken it previously because I'd gone to Africa and I'd been to India. So I knew I could handle it physically. Even though when I tried to get it from my primary doctor down here last March, he wouldn't give it to me. He said, oh, it has cardiac implications. I go, I know that, but I've taken it. So I don't have those cardiac implications and I want the drug. He says, I'm sorry, I won't prescribe it to you prophylactically. Wow. And it has severe cardiac implications. Well, it came out later in the year. I don't know if you all followed it, but they falsified the study and they gave people lethal doses of hydroxychloroquine and the Lancet had to retract the study. So there was another illustration of them sabotaging something that was actually working. And, you know, from a felony standpoint, from a professional standpoint, it was egregious what they did.
Dory, what was it? What was the medication you were just talking about that has heart complications?
Hydroxychloroquine.
Oh, hydroxychloroquine.
Like any drug. Like when you go and get aspirin, if you go buy aspirin at the store, you open the box. We've all done this. And there's a piece of paper big enough like a kite. We're flying a kite with all the untoward effects. It explains everything about the drug.
Right.
If you read most of it, or if you read any of them, every drug pretty much can give you anything.
Right.
So
I'd be scared to take it.
What?
I know. It's like, you're just scared to take anything. It's like,
Right. Right. I mean, I was on a ship and I had a urinary tract infection and I'm a nurse. So, I mean, I know this stuff or I should know it. And the guy gives me, Cipro and I'm walking back to my room and I don't know why I was doing it because I wouldn't normally do it. I was reading the insert and the first thing I went to was, it can rupture your Achilles tendon.
Oh.
And I thought, how could a drug that you put in your mouth rupture the largest tendon in your body? Like, whoa. So I go back to his office and I said, I don't want this drug. Give me something else.
No kidding.
Anyway, P.S. a couple of years ago, who ruptures your Achilles tendon? Me.
No
anyway.
Way.
Yes. Yes.
By the way, Cipro almost took me out. That stuff almost killed me.
Oh, hey, I'll give you guys a little thing I learned online that with regards to like a urinary tract infection. I don't know if anyone's ever tried a D-mannose powder for urinary tract. It is like a miracle. Even if you start to get a little itchy or whatever, even if it's just barely beginning, if you take that, you can even take a little every day just to, you know, just for
propofol. I do. I don't do the powder. I do the little caps, the little veggie caps.
Yeah.
What are they called?
It's the capital D mannose, MANNOSE. Have you seen that one?
I use a powder and it just mixes in with water. You just maybe an ounce of water and it tastes like sugar water, but it combines or it binds to the bacteria. And when you pee it out, it removes the bacteria.
Someone told me that.
And I'm like, wow.
Yeah. Someone told me about that like maybe 8-9 years ago. I haven't had any problems. I take it. Yeah. I don't take it daily, but I do take it when I feel like something's coming.
You start to feel like maybe it's you're going to a little bit more than you want to.
Have you done the Uva Ursi one too?
No, just that. But I thought, I'm like, wow, it's just a supplement powder. So I'm like, that's awesome.
I keep it on hand too. That's a huge one for me. Yeah, I know. It changed my life. Because I used to always feel like I was getting something. It was.
Yeah.
I have to say too, for those who have been on these chats and we've been sharing our health stuff, I was telling everybody, I have just been struggling with hormones since the kids and I've been having these like debilitating migraines and they're awful every month without fail. For 3 years. And I started, our friend Matt Blackburn, do you guys follow him on social or anything?
Ooh.
He's great. Matt Blackburn, he's a friend of ours. He has a supplement line that's amazing called Mito Life. But he told me about this. I'll put it in the chat. Ona's Naturals progesterone cream. It's a 20% micronized coconut oil based progesterone. I've taken it for 2 months, one pump a day on my inner arms or my thighs or even on my stomach. I haven't had for 2 months, I have not had a headache. I mean, this is like insane after 3 years on the dot. It's like, I can't even tell you. It's changed my life. So it's also for guys. Justin takes it. We all take it. I'll put it in the chat. It's literally the best thing that's ever happened to me.
Nice.
Wow.
It's a woman named Ona who started the company, I think like 20 years ago, because she was severely epileptic and like not even functioning with how many seizures she was having. I read her whole story and she developed this progesterone and it let her live her life. She did pass away, I think like four or five years ago from complications, but she lived all those years like in a way better way. But people were on like sharing in this forum about how it's taken away everything from migraines to hormonal problems to imbalances that, you know, you could be more susceptible to urinary tract. I mean, it's awesome. It's called Ona's.
Wow. Nose.
I know. I had to share it because it's changed my life.
Nice.
Yeah. Oh, cool. I love stuff. That's when you find a good hack, progesterone cream. I put it in the chat and I do this 20%. It's not cheap, but micronized. I don't know how to spell. But yeah, we do one pump a day, me and Justin. We've had it for over 2 months and it's like $55 and we're just about to buy a new one. So it lasts a while, especially if you're one person taking it. But yeah, I suggest it.
Progesterone that makes... Like, is that the key ingredient to make it like super beneficial? I never thought of progesterone as something that, I don't know, has that kind of effect.
Well, I know we're living in a world that we're really dominated by estrogen. I mean, it's in everything, you know, from the plastics, from the stuff we're eating, the hormones are just, you know, everything we're eating and exposed to with the chemicals is throwing us off. So when I was on Ona's Naturals website, I mean, you could read and read and read about why, because you always think progesterone, yeah, women, you don't even think men, you know, we all have them all. We have testosterone, we have all those things, but she just went into the science of why we're kind of jacked up with lacking in our progesterone. And I was like, oh, we'll see, because I'm talking these headaches were like, throwing up, wanting to die, like for 2 days, 3 days, they would just drag out. And I'm a pretty darn healthy person. I've tried a lot of stuff and it was super frustrating. And I had no idea it could be that easy. It wasn't like, you know, I'm still working with practitioners and doing like the Morley Robbins protocol and I'm donating blood and doing all these things. But I swear that progesterone cream has changed everything. So yeah, I'm with you, Devin. I was surprised.
Yeah. And I guess that would make sense. I think estrogen's acidic or like the harmful version of hormones that we have. So it seems like the progesterone would balance it out.
Yeah. And it's funny because my naturopathic doctor I worked with for many years, he had that, I think I had test results that showed I was low in it. And so he had me like doing a bioavailable one from a pharmacy, a compounding pharmacy. And it was, you know, the best. It wasn't like it was like a total synthetic awful because you have to be careful with those things, you know. And I was taking it, but he always said, take it the 3 weeks out of the month. And then when you're ready to start your cycle, don't take it at all. And he goes, then let your body have that week to, you know, shed the lining and then get back onto it. Well, I was doing that. But what's interesting about this, I'm taking it the whole month, all the way through, once a day, or even sometimes twice a day, because you can't overdo it after you read the research on this stuff. But I was like, gosh, because you always think like when you have your cycle, you kind of want things to dip down and then come back up or whatever. But this is just like keeping me stable. It hasn't affected my period at all. So I still get my regular cycle and it's not like I need to back off from it in order to get the flow. And I have no pain the last two months, zero cramps, zero pain, 5 days on the dot, 28. I mean, it's just like it's regulated me in the craziest way. I'm just surprised. I'm really surprised. It's rad. So I highly recommend it, even if you're not having like hormonal issues, just to like do it if you can afford it. And it's a coconut oil based. So it's not like, hi, buddy. Look how cute he is. He's getting so big.
Yay. Hey, dude. He knows.
You have mama's hair.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully.
He's getting some curls. Hey, Devin, I've been meaning to ask you real quick because last time it's a couple months ago now, but you were saying how you were hoping to kind of meet like-minded people and find your tribe and stuff. Have you connected with anybody?
Well, that's, yeah. That's kind of what I wanted to mention to you, because it sounds like, you know, your neighborhood, you've been finding people. Yeah. And that's exciting, because I don't know, for a while I thought like all of your neighbors were like, you know, glued to the TV. I'm trying to organize like a meeting right now. My cousin, she started this Unmasked mama group on Facebook. Yeah. She's awesome. And on there the other day, I was just like, so who's ready to meet up? Because we really like New York, the craziest state. And I have found like-minded people, but we haven't really got out of the closet yet, I guess, and really like stood our ground. There was like 100 people attended this protest in the downtown area last weekend, and I couldn't go, but it's just like there are seldom few, but you know, like make it cool, I guess. And I was just thinking, you know what, like at this point I'm just gonna say F it. I've been posting kind of, but like I noticed it gets censored. Like you said, I love social media too, but you get so frustrated because you get censored and all this stuff. So I haven't really gone out in the public. We were talking about meeting at Dunkin' Donuts, but I heard that Dunkin's pretty like sticklers when it comes to following the rules, and so is the library, and I don't know, I'm thinking of like getting at a firehouse or something, because it's at the point where like we could just like everybody we know, we could just be, yeah, that's me. Bye. We could like to everybody we know, we're getting together if you want to meet some other people, right? Like
exactly.
Where are you in New York?
Where am I?
Where are you in New York, she said.
Yeah, I'm upstate, about like 2 hours from the city, and it's, you know, it's
actually, where? I'm from New York.
Like near Ithaca, but Ithaca's okay. Kind of really like, I don't know, it's a college town. They're really with following the rules and Marxism. But right. This area is not too bad, I find. Like there's a lot of Trumpers, I guess. I really don't want to call it like some kind of name, but you see the flags everywhere, and I feel like the people around here are really liberated, you know. It's kind of like Illinois. Chicago doesn't speak for the whole state, so you go to the rest of Illinois and those people are, you know, fighting for their freedom and stuff, but they can't because most of their population's in a city. So
yeah, get out of the city is the name of the game if you can. But yeah, Devin, I mean, could you guys just meet at a public park and have your maskless mama just like, or do you kind of, do you feel like you're being watched?
I guess you could, yeah. Oh God, I never know. And like the way of the world, like back when things were masked, I had people like trying to get my name and stuff every time I went shopping and everything.
No way.
They stopped me. Can you still see me? My son did something. while I was walking, like, they're like, who are you? And trying to get my information. So it was very weird because I never wore a mask. I always carried stuff I printed off of Peggy Hall's website. I tried to find the most free information. And right now I'm trying to work on like making shirts. So when we do get regulated again, I'm just going to say like HIPAA medically exempt or whatever, you know.
Nice.
My liberated, yeah, like the constitutional law and everything on there. Cause
nice, Devin.
Yeah, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Tell us when you do them. We want to buy some.
Okay.
Please, I will support. I think that's awesome.
Okay, cool. I don't know if I want to do it for a profit. I just want to get it out there, and I think it'd be cool if everybody just had one, you know? And then well, you can like really those, tell.
It's like those Freedom Keeper shirts, you know? Like, have you seen those? They're everywhere. Oh gosh, yeah, on Instagram, I mean, you can't find a granola crunchy mom or a woke person who doesn't have one of those. I'm like, dude, those are, it just took off. It was some mom who just started like, I'm just gonna write Freedom Keeper on my shirt, and people ask me, I'll tell them all about the vaccine thing, and it just went crazy. So hey, I say you do it.
Yeah, heck yeah. And it's like, if people are asking, how could they argue? And I don't know, doesn't everybody have a little bit of an anarchist in them? And you know,
like, yeah, I love that.
We're Americans.
Yes.
That's what we're made of.
Yes, Colleen.
Yes.
Yes, like Colleen was saying earlier too, like, you know, it's American blood and like what we want deep down. It's what we're made of. It's our lineage and like our race freedom.
Yeah.
Well, don't you guys find too, like, we want to work. We want to produce. We want to, like, I don't want to live off the government. I don't want to, like, we're meant to just, like, be. I feel like the American spirit is just, let's get stuff done and let's create. And I think more than anything, that's shown me. It's beautiful. You kind of see the people who are like, I'm just going to have unemployment. And it's great for a time if you lose your job or if you you can't make ends meet. But in general, like, people want to work. You know, everyone wants to open back up. Let's get back to work. Let's, like, I love that about us.
Self-government is not something you can do and just sit back and do nothing. I mean, it in just the essence of it requires you to actually be involved. And sure. we're so used to just letting other people do. We send them to where they're going to make, and then they just proceed to go and make decisions that further restrict us. So why send them if that's what they're going to do? And our government's not set up to remove them if they don't behave. Look at the Supreme Court. There's a thing right there. If they misbehave, they're supposed to be removed. They don't get to be there for the rest of their lives if they're not going to support the Constitution. But that's not the way we do it, because nobody is aware of that. We have the authority to do that, and they just let it go.
Well, I do love people like Dr. B and other freedom fighters that are just starting to really.
I love Dr. B. I'm so glad that he got hooked in with that. And
I know.
You know, he starts a spark and he got it going. So, I mean, it's going, but in Massachusetts, it's definitely not something that we know a lot about here. You know, it's just, but it's just only getting started. We have a lot of counties.
So this is good.
It's crazy, but he definitely inspired me with all of his energy and stuff. And he's very good representative of that.
Yeah, he's inspiring too. We were talking to him before he had a live last week on Sunday, and Justin was on the phone with him before, and he's just like, you know, Justin goes, Dr. B, like, would you ever leave? You know, would you leave California? Because he's talked about it, and he goes, no. Like, he's like, when it comes down to it, it's like how we were talking with Dory and everybody. It's like, no, I'll be the last man standing. I have a clinic here. I have a clinic in Mexico. I love where I live. I love my boat. I love the ocean. He's like, no, like, this is my home, you know? And so it was just so good again to hear, like, we're all kind of getting smacked back into our right head of like, no, we're fighting for the things we love. And this is what makes America, America.
I took a break from social media for a while. And then when I got back on, I was really happily surprised. A lot of people had that attitude of, I'm standing this hill or whatever the saying.
Yeah, I will die on this hill.
Yeah. I will die on this hill. And I kept seeing people post it. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm glad to be back. Even though I know.
I know. Have you seen the one that's going around now? It's like they'll say something and like, you know, we're all like, and then they'll be like, we ride at dawn. Have you seen that one?
No.
And it gives you this, like, Paul Revere, like, yeah, okay, we're all going to get our horses and go. But it's like this, like, total, I've seen it, like, probably 100 times. It's like, we ride at dawn. And it's like, yeah, we're all together. It makes you feel like you're so connected to these people, you know? It's like, we all are in it in spirit. And if we have to band together in physical places, we will. But that's kind of, Devin, what we're working on in our neighborhood right now. We're like, who has guns? Who has skills? Who believes the same way? You know, we have a paramedic in our neighborhood that we're like, if our kids have to get stitches and the hospital denies us, it's good to know people. You start making these, like, connections. But I'm like, well, yeah, but I thought, even if they start knocking on doors, like you hear, which I think is a lot of fear propaganda. But if they did try to come and knock on my door and talk to us about the vaccine, I'm like, who in our neighborhood are we going to call and be like, hey, they're around the corner. Who's our group? Like, where we could get physically together, you know, or if our power went out, who's going to be our little, you know, group that we're going to start a fire with and make some food. And like, we're trying to put that community in place. So we actually feel like we have, can circle the wagons a bit.
It's almost like establishing a neighborhood watch, you know, when you go into a neighborhood and you see those signs.
Totally.
I'm thinking about that. Like, what if we started something like that in all of our neighborhoods?
I think we can do that. We can totally do it. But I think it starts with us. It starts with one person starting to talk to your neighbor behind the fence and be like, oh, you don't vaccinate either? Oh, you think this is a joke too? Oh, you think that, you know, like, And just all of a sudden you have like 15 people that you're like, wow, we actually have a little tribe right here where it looks like we think we have no one in right here, but we have lots.
Yeah. Everybody's behind their like cells, you know, of their houses that, you know, nobody's like, it's weird because, you know, when you don't talk to your neighbors, you don't even notice that they're there. I like never see my neighbors leave their house and all sorts of stuff, you know, like we're not talking. So yeah, it's very important to just communicate like outside of you and get back to socializing again.
All right. And I think that is important to know we have each other's back. I mean, isn't that what neighbors used to do? I'm sure more when you lived on a farm. I don't know. We had a really interesting thing. There's a little private Christian school right behind our house. And my neighbor texted me yesterday, and she's like, active shooter. And I'm like, what the heck, you know? So our whole neighborhood, like there's police everywhere with their big guns. And there was a guy with a gun cruising around right by the school. And we're like, oh my gosh, like, and they apprehended him and they got him and nobody got shot or killed or anything, but it was just like, wow. And we live in a really safe little hamlet community where, you know, there's stuff, but hardly that kind of stuff. And it was just shocking. But I thought, wow, this is why neighbors, you have to, I mean, I don't want to be outside playing if I knew there was a crazy person with a gun outside. Like, it was just so good to know. And I thought, wow, like, I'm really glad I know my neighbors. We used to want to hole up and know no one and not just do our thing. You know, I'm like, you know, now we have neighbors making each other organic meals and it's just really cool.
I thought the laws, like gun laws in California, were really strict. Or is it?
I'm sure they are.
Like New York, extremely.
Do you guys ever have any trouble in California, like buying stuff that is kind of like self-defense related? I have a license to carry, but cool. I haven't bought a gun, right? It's just very expensive and stuff. I just haven't done it yet, but I did get the license to carry. So cool. It said, in the meantime, I'll just get a power slingshot, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah,
so
yeah,
I
yeah.
Have to, so if I have to, I can just, you know, yeah. swing away, right? So I got it on Amazon and I went to put the button in and pay, and they said, oh, this address is not eligible to receive this product. And I'm like, what do you mean? It's like, it's my house, I bought it, it should be able to come here. In Massachusetts, they don't allow you to receive a powered or ammunition for a powered slingshot, you know, like a wrist rocket kind of thing.
Wow.
And I'm like, I had to call a friend in New Hampshire and say, hey, can I send this to your house? Because in New Hampshire, they don't have those stupid things. But you've never heard of that happening in California?
You know, as far as I know, we're pretty free because like our friend bought a crossbow.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. You just go buy a crossbow. And I'm like, really? I mean, that was shocking. So it doesn't seem that we do, but we have a very hard time getting ammunition for guns. It's very hard because I'm applying. I just did my little, you have to take a little online test and then you have to go and wait the 2 weeks for the background check or whatever. But like, because I'm like, it's getting close to where we're not going to be able to get things a lot longer. So I'm like, we need to get guns and I need to go to a range and learn how to use. I never thought this would be me because I'm not all about that, but you become about that. But yeah, no, I think we can get like, not guns easily, but it's not that hard, really. You just have to go.
I thought a slingshot was kind of like tame.
That's shocking.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, thank God I know somebody close enough that I could send it to.
That is so surprising. Is that the same as like, I mean, can you get a BB gun? I mean, all that stuff? You can't.
Anything, I think anything like that would probably be the same.
That's crazy.
I know.
Can you buy a bow and arrow? Like, can you go down to
never tried, but I didn't think I would have problem with the slingshot.
That's shocking.
And clay ammunition. It's not even actual pellets. I could have got metal ones too, but I only got dirt ones so that I could practice. But I'm like, I can't buy it and send it to my own house. It's crazy.
That is weird.
But you know somebody, and that's what too. I was also thinking, like, if they stop grocery stores, we could just, okay, I know somebody that's been vaccinated, you know.
Right. That's what I thought too. I'm like,
Yeah.
But I don't want to use them, but if they'll
you don't offer. Maybe you'll pay them. I don't know.
I know. I think there's a lot of things we can, I don't know. At the end of it all, I'm like, you know, like, Dory was saying, like, if we have faith in a higher power and God, and like, I've always been provided for. I will always be provided for. I mean, during the first lockdown, we had some old neighbor that moved away like the year before, and she comes showing up at our door out of just nowhere, knocking with like diapers and toilet paper. which we had no toilet paper because that whole crazy thing, you know? And I'm like, my gosh, like, it was just one of those things where I just was, it was such a, like, we're doing our part and there's always going to be provision for us. So yeah, whether or not our, you know, vaccinated neighbor feels sorry for us and wants to go get us food, if we get shut down with our social credit score or whatever in the future. But yeah, I'm just trusting that because it's too, I don't want to live in fear world. It just messes with us and makes us unhealthy. And I just saw Dory. Oh, awesome. Dory. Dory put all this stuff in the chat.
I know. I just copied the whole chat into the notes, but yeah.
Devin, did you see that too? hey, real quick, Dory, too. I didn't want to ignore AJ Walter. Do you know if there's a protocol for vaccinated people? I know there's a lot of talk about this for removing vaccine ingredients.
You mean as far as if they've been vaccinated, how to mitigate the circumstances of their situation?
Yes. What would you recommend?
Yes. Judy Mikovits. Are you familiar with Judy Mikovits?
Yeah, she's rad.
She really is. Mm-hmm. She talks about that a lot. I'm trying to think of what it is. Give me a minute.
That has to be on her. We got a couple. Did we get things taken? No. That was.
I don't think she has a website.
Yes, she does. She does.
What is it? Because she told me, I'm fortunate because in California, which is where she lives, I see her a lot. I go to a lot of her stuff.
Maybe you're right.
Because she said that, you know, they keep taking it down. She has to keep changing her phone number.
We've had her on our show. She's hard. I'm going to have to find out. Great. You're right. I don't see it coming up right now.
Interesting. Well, she talks a lot about how to mitigate. She's sort of hopeful for people, but they have to do certain things. I want to say it's like glutathione. It's, I believe it's, you know, same stuff too. Quercetin, you know, a lot of, the antioxidants.
She does a lot of CBD stuff too. And
she does, but I just saw last night, I don't know how true it is. I'm sure it's true. I was listening to Mike Adams, a health ranger.
Yeah.
And once again, the government's going after CBD and prohibiting the usage of it in certain areas. So,
certain states.
It was FDA is national. So,
interesting. What is funny that everybody's just fought for this, and now it's like, just kidding.
What is the CBD connection to all that?
Judy Mikovits is a strong believer in cannabinoids.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Insofar as their importance in health. So that's the connection. I'm not that familiar with cannabinoids.
From what I learned about cannabinoids is there's a cannabinoid receptor on every cell in the body.
Well,
that's one thing that I've heard. Mm-hmm.
So crazy.
I've been trying to, I just started getting finally into selling the CBD that I found was really good. And Ken Roll was promoting it like 5 years ago. And then they finally give you an option to be a distributor of it. So I was like, oh my gosh, I'm doing this. And then now I hear this. But I was, before this, I was like, oh my gosh, Kate's on. I looked at the clock and I was listening to Judy Mikovits talk about CBD. She had like a whole, she is so intelligent the way that she's like an encyclopedia of everything. But.
Which is why they're witch hunting her so bad, I think.
I believe her. Whenever I hear her talk, I feel like she is literally telling the truth, and she wouldn't say it if she's under attack. And so, I mean, I just, when I hear her talk, she has credibility with me. I feel like she does.
Well, it's interesting. Everything that she predicted, like, I don't know if you guys saw her. I saw it back in probably March of last year on that documentary, Plandemic, with Mickey Willis.
Yeah.
Everything she said is coming true. Hmm. Everything. And when I listened to her on that Plandemic documentary, I went and bought her book. I have all the books now. She's incredible. She's been spot on. She knows what she's talking about. She's worked with viruses her whole career until Dr. Fauci, you know, ruined her career. And you will learn a lot. If you read the book, Plague of Corruption, it will blow your mind.
Hold on, I'm writing that down.
Blow your mind. It will make you realize or understand everything that's going on right now and how big pharma has been destroying us for a very long time. and how science is so corrupt.
What was the name of that one again?
Judy Mikovits' book that I read, Plague of Corruption.
Okay, yeah.
She has several books. One is one's coming out soon, End of Plague. Her first, their first book that she wrote with Ken Heckenlively is called. Where are my books from Judy? Plague of Corruption, End of Plague is coming out. There's another one.
I thought the first one was like Plague of Corruption. Just it's similar titled.
Right, it's got the word plague in it. I don't know why I can't find it on my bookshelf. I have all of them.
Well, I would say it wouldn't hurt to tell our friend here in the chat. I don't think it would hurt to do, obviously, any of these things that we've recommended with the ivermectin and the hydroxychloroquine, even if you've had to take the jab or you chose to do it. It's funny. I don't know. I shared this a little while ago from our friend, Dr. Michelle Schrader, because at the beginning of all this, when my parents got the vaccine or whatever you want to call it, I was concerned about our kids being around them because nobody was sure about the shedding of the whatever. But she said she also had family members that they didn't feel comfortable being around. So she came up with this detox bath. Did I tell you guys about this?
It's actually really bleach? Cool.
It's a bunch of ingredients. Maybe you've heard of this. She does organic detergent or that Miracle 2 soap, along with organic alfalfa pellets, powdered charcoal, diatomaceous earth, Dr. Bronner's peppermint soap, baking soda, and white vinegar. And she soaks in a hot bath for 30 minutes, and then a little bit through it, she adds charcoal and diatomaceous earth. And she says that she just totally feels like, she said you have to scrub it off and then you have to, you know, it's a pain to clean your bathtub and stuff. But she said she honestly felt by also following up by taking zeolite that was a good way to just, you know, pull stuff and toxins from her. I don't know. Have you guys done any detoxing baths? I mean, because I don't know if I took the vaccine, I would be doing everything.
Well, I heard, you know, I don't know if you guys know Carrie Major, Meha.
Mm-mm.
Carrie Madoff, she's been talking about the deleterious effects of the vaccine since the beginning of COVID. And she said something I thought was really interesting. She does the detox. She obviously didn't take the
jab.
Yeah, but what she does on a regular basis when she feels she needs to detox from all the metals and toxins in our environment is she puts chlorine. You have to use Clorox bleach and water and takes a bath in it. That's it.
Wow.
And I'm sure if you hunted her down, Carrie, I'll try to remember her name, how to spell it.
How much Clorox bleach do you know?
Pardon me?
How much Clorox? Like
just
barely?
Like a cup in a bathtub. That's all. But she said it has to be Clorox. You can't like buy an off brand bleach. It has to be Clorox for whatever reason.
That seems so gnarly, doesn't it?
Actually, no. When you think about it, you just dilute it in water.
Yeah. I don't know why I get so like, oh, it just is like, seems like that would put your private parts on fire.
I was just thinking the same thing. Is there any way you can kind of project that spot?
I don't know. Cause like I've had issues where I put in like some lavender oil and it's diluted. I'm like, dude, I feel a little funky. Like, it just seems like that would burn. I don't know. But maybe I'm just thinking back to my hairdressing days where that bleach just smelled so toxic. You know, I was like, oh, I can't.
Well, I mean, would it do the same thing to go like in a chlorinated swimming pool?
Yeah.
I mean, you have that. And
yeah.
It's probably not Clorox, but it's certainly chlorinated.
I mean, at this point, I mean, obviously, if you're dealing with a bigger monster, I would do anything. But
exactly.
She was emphatic about it being Clorox. So for what it's worth.
I know that there's been some talk about zeolite too, where people are like, it's good, it's bad, it's not good, it's not blah, blah, blah. But if I were trying to detox something, I would probably do it for an amount of time and not do it every day like we used to before we kind of knew. But there's one that we used by the Global Healing Center, I think, called Pure Body. And we used to take that every day. So that was really good. So I would suggest that to who was it? Oh, AJ Walter. Yeah. So I would try that one. I'll write it in the chat, but.
What is it? Hey, can I ask you this question? What is it? Somebody's asked me, have you downloaded my 400 link database tool yet on the CV? I don't know what that means.
Oh, that's okay. So my husband, Justin, he did over 400 articles for a database for COVID. So every single thing that he can find that's pertaining to COVID, he puts on this database so you can get to it. Did you see that link up there? If you want to read articles, which I'm sure you already know, but
No, I don't see a link. He just said, have you downloaded my 400-link database?
Is it on Extreme Health Radio, Kate?
It's, let me see, where did I post it? I don't know if he put it, I think he put it in the Academy.
I think I, yeah, oh, in Dr. See. Bergman's site there?
Okay. No, it is Extreme Health. It's on ours. It's extremehealthradio.com/CV links.
I'll put it in the chat box because I sent it.
Where did it not go? Yeah. Do you see it, Devin? But yeah, he's adding to it daily. He's trying to just everything he finds out about the research on COVID, just so it's all in one area. It's just a good resource. So, you know, we send that to people who are just new to this, who don't know anything. I mean, I would love if my parents were interested, but they just think it's all a bunch of crap. So you can only help people who are wanting to be helped, right?
Well, just be prepared when they get really sick this fall.
I know. I know.
That you can provide them with.
Well, I had this powerful dream. I think it was like 3 years ago. And you know it's powerful when you have the dream like two or three times and it's the same. It was just crazy. I haven't had that happen a lot, but it was this insane dream where I'm out on the front lawn of my parents' house and Justin's with me and my family's there. And there's like some kind of alien invasion or something, but it was something coming. What that stood for is something was coming from the sky, but it was dangerous and everyone was scared and it was coming to attack us and no one knew what it was. And he and I were looking at each other going, we know exactly what's happening. And my parents were looking at us and they're like, we need to talk. Like, we need help. We need to know what's going on. And we were like, okay. And it was this moment where they were like humbled and they knew that they didn't know something and we knew how to help them. And it was just, I wouldn't have thought 3 years ago that that could mean all of this, but I really think since this has come down and I think people are going to be humbled in a way that's not going to be pretty, but also it's going to make them soft. And, you know, if that's their awakening and for however long people are going to be living, because no one really knows yet, but I thought, gosh, if they can just have an awakeness and awareness and just open up in this life, I think that that's what a lot of people are going to be going through. So it might not be pretty, but I think people are going to wake up in different processes and at different times in their life. So if that's what it takes, you know, that's what it takes. But yeah, it was really powerful. So yeah, who knew that that's what this would probably be about, unless we really get invaded by aliens and then maybe my dream's real.
You already have them.
I know, but like if it were like everyone's, you know, sees them flying out of the sky, like that'd be really funny. But
your parents are still not, they're still asleep, kind of, aren't they? Like
they're very asleep. Yeah, it's hard. Justin's folks are totally, they're in their 80s and they're just totally open to all this, won't get the jab, know what's going on. I mean, it's kind of crazy that they've been so wanting to learn. And it's just so neat when you have older people, you know, we're not claiming to know better than them. We just know more and different information. And it's just nice that you don't have parents treating you like you don't know anything or you're dumb, or it's really nice. They really, really respect what we have to tell them. And they've made decisions based off of, you know, information. It's so funny that this whole thing, you know, the government always talks about the science. Well, we're looking at different science than they are, and they can call it whatever they want, but you know, we're just trying to get the right science out to people.
they're looking at political science. They're not looking at science.
There you go. So,
which is unfortunate because medicine should not be political.
Right. Well, I think we just need to all keep sharing with those around us, and you know, one person at a time is what it's going to take, and be bold. Dory, that was really good for me to be reminded to be much more bold. So I needed that today. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Gosh, it's been so good, girls. I probably got to go get my babies fed, but somebody needs to eat, I guess. We all need to eat. But yeah, no, it was so good. Lynn, real quick, how is your heart playing going? Sorry, we didn't get to chat.
Oh, that's okay. It's going well. In fact, I quit my teaching job.
You did.
And I decided to do it full time. And now I'm getting some other work and it's amazing. Yeah.
Wow. So you're being provided for, right?
Yep. You can just let go. That's my lesson today. If you just let go of it, and if you follow your heart and what you feel like God's leading you to do, just go for it.
Oh, Lynn, that's so encouraging. Yeah.
So it is fun.
It's good for you. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad that you pop on here. It makes me so happy.
Yeah, thank you. It's nice to see all of you too.
Nice to see you. It's nice to have new friends too, even though we didn't get to, some people have been muted the whole time, but I'm really glad that everyone's been here. And so we're going to do it again in 2 weeks. Let's see, Dr. B's on a live call. Gosh, it's still like 2 or 3 weeks out. I'll be posting that. I think we'll have one more talk in 2 weeks before he's back on. So yeah. So what's the next one for us? I should say that out loud really quick. So we'll have another Women's Wellness on the 1st of September. So yeah, we can all catch up then. And please, yeah, try to come back. I want to hear what's going on with everybody. And we'll, you know, in 2 weeks from now, so much will happen in the world. We can break it down. Yeah.
All right. Devin, well, thank you very much.
Thanks, yeah. Kate. Thank you guys. Love you all. Yeah. Devin, start your mama group. I want to hear about it.
Okay.
Maskless mamas. Okay. Love you guys.
Yeah. Bye. Thank you.
Bye. Thank you guys.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.